read to Acts chapter 1. I know we're running out of time here. Acts chapter 1. I wanted to share something that Jesus said about missions that will help us to get a fuller picture on what we're all about and why we're doing this stuff, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, speaking to his followers after his crucifixion and resurrection, about to ascend into heaven, says this: "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, this was the end of Jesus' ministry. As I said, he's about to ascend to the right hand of the Father and to be in heaven, and he leaves his followers with these final words. He says, "I'm going to leave, but I'm going to equip you with power. I'm going to equip you with power once I'm gone. Supernatural Holy Spirit power." But here's what Jesus said. I want you to understand that this power is not just for you to be blessed with. It's not just for you to be enriched by. It's not just for you to enjoy your life and the presence of God upon you. He said, when you receive this power, there's purpose in the power. And the purpose of the power is for you to be a witness for me. In other words, I'm giving you this resource, not for you, but for those who are in need. Are you getting that? I'm giving you this resource so that you can be a blessing and take the gospel out to the world, to those who are in need. Church, let's never lose sight of this principle, because it applies not only to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spiritual power, but it applies to every resource and blessing that God deposits into our lives. Everything that God has given us is not meant just for us to enjoy ourselves. It's not so we can just make our lives more comfortable and enlarge our homes and add more cars and get more blessed. God has blessed us. He has given us resources so that we can impact the world around us with those resources. In other words, he expects us to be a conduit. He expects us to be a pipeline. Hallelujah. And when he tries to flow resources into that pipeline, he wants them to go through our lives and out to others. The problem is, too many of us, we clog up the pipeline. We clog it up. God blesses us with resources, and we sit on the resources. And the Lord sees that, and he says, well, you're not using the resources that I want you to use it. And so what happens? He shuts down the resources. And when we show God that we're faithful with those resources that flow into our lives, hallelujah, what does he do? He flows more resources in. That's what the scriptures tell us. Jesus said, if you are faithful in little, I will make you ruler over much. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, it is the Lord God who gives you the power to get wealth, that his covenant may be established in the earth. Did you get that? The Lord gives you the power to get wealth for a reason. Not so you can just add more square footage and get another car. Not so you can just enrich your own life. He says, I'm giving you the power to get wealth so that my covenant can be established. Now, what covenant are we talking about? Well, we are in the age of grace. We are under the New Testament now, under the new covenant. We are under the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean to us? That means that God blesses us, gives us the power to get wealth, not so we can bless ourselves, but so that he can establish his covenant, his new covenant, so that he can propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ all throughout the world. Some of us need to get a new vision for why we want to be blessed and what is the purpose of God blessing us. It's so he can flow through us to enlarge his kingdom. And how many understand that one day when we stand before God, he's going to measure the quality of our, not just the quantity, but the quality of our lives. What did we do with the resources that he gave us? Did we just bury it in the field of our own lives and do nothing with it? Or did we invest it outwardly into the kingdom to bring forth fruit and increase to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. K.P. Yohannan said this. He said, many churches have become, quote, a tiny group of believers who have the gospel, They have the gospel and keep mumbling it over and over and over again to themselves. Meanwhile, millions who have never heard it once fall into the flames of eternal hell without ever hearing the salvation story. Mission Church, let's not be that tiny group of people who have the gospel for ourselves and we just bless each other with it. And we just bless our families with it. And we just bless ourselves with it. Let's not neglect the call of Jesus Christ where he said, take the gospel, take the good news, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. And make disciples of the nations. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Now look at this. In Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now this gives us more specificity to the Great Commission. Now we know Jesus' Great Commission, Matthew 28, he says, go into the world, right? But this helps us to understand a little more strategically what the Lord is trying to do with the gospel. There are four target groups that we see here. The first one, he says, be witnesses in Jerusalem. Now that's local because they were in Jerusalem. So Jesus says to his apostles, while they're in Jerusalem, he says, be witnesses here, locally, right here in this place, right? So our Jerusalem, we all have a Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. We all have a Jerusalem. What is my Jerusalem? Your Jerusalem, that this is the people around you in your immediate circle of influence who do not know Christ. They're within your immediate circle of influence and they don't know Christ. And let's understand, let's be very clear about this, that the majority of people in America today do not know Christ. Jesus said it himself, there is a broad way that leads to destruction and many that go in that way. And there is a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So Jesus says that when it comes to demographics, most people around you are on the wrong road. Everybody say the wrong road. They're on the wrong road, and they're going in the wrong direction. Now, there was a time in America where Americans respected the things of God. Americans knew things like the Ten Commandments. They knew things like, what are the four Gospels? They knew, you know, prayer was in school. Bible reading was in school. But Americans today have changed. Americans today, we have become a nation of biblical illiterates. We don't know the Bible. In fact, a study was done and it revealed that fewer than half of all adults in America can name the four Gospels. Fewer than half. Relax, I'm not going to give you a pop quiz, okay? Relax. 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. Can't even name five of them. 50% of high school seniors thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. This is your Jerusalem. These are the people around you in your sphere of influence. Your home is your Jerusalem. Listen, your first mission field is your family. Your first mission field are those little children running around in your house. Your first mission field is your marriage, your husband, your wife who may not know Jesus. That's your first mission field. Your neighborhood is your Jerusalem, the people living around you. Your place of work, your workplace is your Jerusalem. That is your sphere of influence. That is where all those relationships and those connections occur. Your co-workers, right? This is your Jerusalem. And they need to know that you and I are Christ followers. I'm not saying you got to stand up on a chair and preach at work or get in the neighborhood and go up and down banging on doors and telling people they're... But what I am saying is that people need to know that we identify with Jesus Christ. At some point, some way, somehow, in some conversation, there's got to be a way where you can say, I stand with Jesus. I'm a born-again Christian. I read the Bible. I believe it's the Word of God. I go to church 7 days a week. Right? Amen. Listen, that's where it starts. That's where, and God uses that. He uses that as a seed. Don't underestimate how God can use just something as simple as you declaring, I'm a Christ follower. I follow Jesus, right? And if that's not enough, invite him to church. Invite him to church. Invite somebody to church. Did you know, listen to this statistic, that 82% of unchurched people are likely to attend church if invited? That's 4 out of 5 people that you know. They're likely to come to church if you would invite them. And this is especially true on Easter. Hallelujah. How many know Easter's coming, right? Amen? What do we got, 2 weeks, 2 Sundays? Resurrection Sunday, right? Statistics prove that Easter, and you know it, Easter is the highest attended service of the year. People who don't go to church will go to church on Easter, at least 82% of them. 4 out of 5. Don't miss the opportunity to invite somebody to church on Easter. In fact, we made it easy for you. I just happen to have here one of our invite cards. Our invite cards, right? We put them in the bulletin. On the back, it has our Good Friday, our Easter service. All you got to do is, if you don't even know what to say, that's okay. Just say, hey, here, read this. Come to church on Easter, right? Just hand somebody, leave it on their desk, right? Invite somebody to church. We're making it easy for you. And listen, it's not about just getting, you know, numbers in the building. That's not what it's about. It's about this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be clearly declared. Everyone who comes into the church on Easter Sunday will leave with an understanding of who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. And I'm telling you, there will be people who will come to Christ on Easter Sunday morning. Let it be some of your friends, some of your family, some of your coworkers, someone from your Jerusalem. Don't miss the opportunity. It doesn't get any easier than this. Amen? Amen? Come on, just poke somebody and tell them, invite somebody to church on Easter. Come on, tell somebody right now. Poke them and just tell them, you better invite somebody to church on Easter. Judea. Then he says, after you be witnesses in Jerusalem, that's local. He says, I want you to be witnesses in Judea. Jerusalem is local. Judea is regional. It's regional. Okay, now we're widening the radius a little more. Okay, this is just beyond your sphere of influence. Okay. But here's what I want us to see. The Judea refers to those people that are outside of your sphere of influence that you may never contact, you may never know, you may never see them, right? But yet Jesus still commands us to impact them. He still commands us to somehow influence them. Now, how do we do this? Because most of us cannot impact the region, the Hudson Valley or the state of New York or the Northeast. We can't impact our region by ourselves. But here's what happens. When we join ourselves together, when we become a united team working together, we become a larger workforce. We combine our resources, and we combine our talents, we combine our gifts, and we become, there is a cumulative, synergistic effect that enables us to impact our region. Because we can accomplish more together than we could ever do alone. Let me say it again. We can accomplish more together than we could ever do alone. That's what happens when we combine all of, we become an army, we become a community, we become a force to be reckoned in this world when we join together. Hallelujah. Amen? Think about it. By yourself, you couldn't reach the children of the Hudson Valley. How are you, all by yourself? What are you going to do? Invite them all into your living room? I don't think so. Most of you don't even like kids. You're praying for these kids up here, saying, Lord, bless those kids for those families. Bless them over there. Just bless them. Right? But so by yourself, you can't do that. But when we come together, when we join together, and we bring our resources together, what happens? Now we can build a team to reach children. We can establish a facility where children can gather. We can provide programs that will impact those children and impact our region. Do you see what happens? When we come together, we can accomplish more than we could ever accomplish alone. Our youth, how are you going to impact by yourself? How are you going to impact the youth, the teenagers of our region? And God knows we need to impact our teenagers. Amen? Yeah. But we can't do it on our own. But when we come together, there's a cumulative, synergistic effect where our resources are combined and we can have a program, we can have a team, we can have a facility. Hallelujah. We can take them on trips. We can take them to convention. We can do all kinds of things with them when we join together as a team. Amen? Bill Hybels said this. I love it. He said, the local church is the hope of the world. This is God's plan. This was Jesus' plan. When he said, on this rock I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus had this vision where individual Christians would come together and create a resource, create a community, create an army that the gates of hell would not be able to resist. But on your own, you can't do it. But together, we're a force to be reckoned with. Amen? Amen? So we reach our region by coming together. And then he says, I want you to be witnesses in Samaria. Everybody say Samaria. Well, what does that mean? Samaria is cross-cultural. Jerusalem is local. Judea is regional. Samaria is cross-cultural. Okay? Now, Samaria was more a foreign culture to the Jew than it was a foreign land. Okay? Because it was really, geographically, it was still kind of in their region. So it really was more a foreign culture with people that were very different from them. A little history. Back then, the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were, they originated centuries before. They were Jews originally during the time of the Northern Kingdom, but they intermarried with the pagans of the land and they created a race that the Jews considered to be half-breeds. They considered them to be a corrupted race, corrupted by intermarriage and paganism, right? And so basically the Jews back then were kind of racist. They didn't want anything to do with Samaritans. They didn't want to talk to them. They didn't want to touch them. They didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. And in the New Testament times, the Samaritan issue for the Jews was much like our immigration in the United States. Yeah, it's going to get quiet now. Understand something, that Jesus calls us to the Samaritans. He calls us to reach and to love and to serve and to minister to those who come from a different culture than we come from. People who look different than us, talk different from us, act different from us. Thank you. Amen. Amen, Pastor Greg. Preach it. I will preach it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to amen myself now. Hallelujah. Now, I know we all have our, you know, our political, philosophical opinions regarding immigration, whether it be legal, illegal, Dreamers, DACA, whatever it is. But I want us to understand that as Christians, as Christ followers, okay? Now, I'm talking Bible people now, okay? Christians, people who follow Christ. Our loyalty is not to some political party. It's not to some political leader who, by the way, his only concern is the next election cycle and how he can get your vote to stay in office. Our loyalty is not to some journalistic endeavor like Fox News. Hello? In fact, I got to tell you something. The more I watch Fox News, the less I can watch it. Because I watch it and I feel, and it, you know, I watch CNN or I watch MSNBC, right? Because I like to see how everybody's thinking. Amen? Hello? We don't all want to just live in a bubble, do we? It's just an echo chamber where we just talk all the same thing. I want to know what other people are thinking. So I'll listen to MSNBC or CNN, and I listen to Fox News, and I feel like I'm just, they're trying to manipulate me. That everybody's just got a narrative, they just got an agenda, and they're just trying to twist all the information and present certain things to try and get me to agree with their narrative. That's called manipulation. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be manipulated. I don't like it at all. And when I hear it, I recognize it, I discernment. How many know what discernment is? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Listen, Christ followers, we need some discernment. Don't think when you turn on Fox News, you're just getting the gospel. Oh yeah, all these people love Jesus. They don't all love Jesus. Okay? We need discernment. Whatever news agency you're listening to. Now for me, I'll tell you what, I have a harder and harder, it's getting harder and harder for me to listen to that stuff because I just feel like I'm being, right? But that's the point is this. Our loyalty is not to a political party or to a news channel. Our loyalty is to the Word of God to the cross of Christ and to the gospel that is to be propagated throughout the world. And listen, if we encounter someone from another culture or another race, another tribe, another tongue, we do not look at them through this filter of immigration or racism or who are you and where are you from. Now, I know we need to be careful, we need to protect, and we don't want to let people in who want, you know, they have a bad agenda. I get all that. I understand that. I have 3 sons in the military. I understand all of that. Okay? But we need to be careful that we do not look at people on the basis of their ethnicity and deal with them on the basis of where they're from. Because Jesus said, you need to be a witness to Samaria. Amen. You need to be a witness to Samaria, right? So we don't look at people as immigrants. We don't screen them for their cards. If you're here, all I want you to know is this. There is a God who loves you and sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your eternal soul. We look at all people in terms of souls who need Christ. That's our Samaria, right? Amen? And if they're from Samaria, we have a responsibility to reach them, to love them, to serve them. Amen? Amen. 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 So let's be clear. Let's be perfectly clear. There is no place in the body of Christ for American white nationalistic supremacy. No place in the body of Christ for that. There is no place for racial discrimination. There is no place for racism in the body of Christ. In fact, if you're a racist, you're not in the body of Christ. You need to get saved. Right? And quick. That's right. We had a family some years ago that got offended in our church because we were, you know, we were doing some Spanish, you know, using Spanish language. I would give a Spanish greeting from the pulpit. Hola. En el nombre de Jesús. Right? And we would do some songs, you know, in Spanish, you know, and this guy, he sent me an email. You know, I get these emails, you know. And he's like, I don't think we should be using Spanish in our church. We're an American church. We speak English in this. This is an English-American church. And so I said, oh, I'm sorry. Are you under the impression that Jesus was an American? Are you under the impression that Jesus spoke English? Is that what you're thinking? Because I'm telling you, them pictures of the Jesus with the blonde hair and the blue eyes, I don't know who that guy is, okay? But that ain't Jesus. Listen, Jesus was a dark-skinned Middle Eastern man who spoke Arabic and probably of a Jewish Palestinian dialect. He didn't speak English, okay? Now that he's in heaven and he's with his right hand, I'm sure he speaks everything, right? Okay, right? But we need to be clear. White nationalism, American supremacy, there's no place for that in the body of Christ. Okay? We're talking about the Great Commission here. You can't talk Great Commission if you believe that racially you're superior than someone else. You can't do that, right? Galatians chapter 3, 28, Paul said this, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, while you're at it. And by the way, I'll add this. There is no white nor black. There is no Asian nor Arabian. There is no Hispanic or Hawaiian. I don't care where you're from, what your language, what your background is. We are all one in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the ultimate leveling field. Hallelujah. Because whether you're white, brown, red, orange or blue with white polka dots. We're all sinners. We're all lost. And we all need the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the only color I'm interested in is one color, red. That's the only color I'm interested in. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only color we look at right here, right now. You got the blood? Are you saved by? Are you under the blood? Are you washed by the blood? Are you saved by the blood? That's the only color we look for. We're only going to judge you according to the blood, right? And by the way, everybody's guilty until proven innocent. Amen. All right? We're going to assume you don't have Jesus until you prove you do have Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, we're coming after you because we want you to know you're guilty. But the blood of Jesus will make you innocent. Does anybody hear what I'm saying today? All right. So anyway, that was my rant. Rant finished. Somebody better tell the children that mama's coming. Just hold on. We're almost done. Just tell them, mama's coming. Then he says, be witnesses to the end of the earth. And this is global. Okay, so we have local, we have regional, we have cross-cultural, and we have global, right? And this is typically what we think of as the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world, go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, okay? It is the command to go. Everybody say go. Okay? Go and make disciples all throughout the world. We are commanded to do what?
Go.
To go. We're commanded to go. We got to go, right? Amen? And we saw all the people that are going. But let me show you another aspect of the Great Commission that is equally important from Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul, he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And look at this, and how shall they preach unless they are sent. Now, Paul was called to go on the mission field, but he understood that was his calling, as it was the calling of the other apostles. The term apostle means sent one. They were sent. They were to go, right? But the call to go, however, understand this, is not necessarily for everyone. Some will be called to send, because you cannot go unless someone's there to send you. Let me say it again. You cannot go unless someone is there to send you. Amen? In fact, there are people who fulfill their role in the Great Commission not by going, but by sending. By sending, right? In the book, Serving as Senders, Neil Pirollo writes this. He says, in secular war, in wartime, for every one person, every one soldier on the battlefront, there are 9 others backing him or her up in supplies and support. Did you hear that? For every one soldier who goes to the front, there are 9 others who don't go to the front. But they're involved in communications, logistics, supplies, support, okay? And without those other 9, what's going to happen to that guy on the front line? He's going to get cut off, and the enemy is going to destroy him, right? Those that send are just as crucial to the Great Commission as are those who go. And this is what Mission Sunday is really all about. We need senders. We need senders. Everybody say senders. All right. Let me just make these couple points real quick and then we're done. A couple of slides I want you to see because I want you to understand that we believe in integrity in finances in the Mission Church. And we want you to know that when you give to missions, we're going to use those donations for missions. And I want you to see what we've done, okay, this past year. Last year, put the slide up, please. Here it is. Okay. Last year, we saw an income of over $278,000 for missions. Some of that was funded by a stipend through our general fund, $45,000 a year. Your pledges last year, over $66,000. And I want to say, Mission Church, God bless you, because you were faithful. You pledged and you gave, and you are awesome. A lot of that money is from people, team members making payments for their trips. So a lot of it is passed through money, okay? Flights, hotels, all that stuff, okay? With that income, next slide, please. With that income, we spent over $208,000 on missionaries and actual mission projects like you heard about here today, okay? So we supported 29 missionaries. We constructed a church in Haiti. We prepared for a construction project in Cuba that just happened. We provided digital training resources. We trained over 1,200 Assembly of God presbyters in Tanzania. We prepared for the conference in Cuba, which we just did, for 700. We partnered with a new church plant in Nairobi. We supported Nation Changers Uganda Orphan Relief projects, okay, with that money. So after all this activity, we're left with a balance, okay, a carry forward into 2018 of over $70,000, okay? Amen. Let's give the Lord praise for that. So this year, with that carry forward, our general fund is going to continue to provide a subsidy, but we're also going to give you an opportunity this morning in just a couple of minutes to renew your pledge or to make a new pledge for 2018, for you to have an opportunity to fulfill your role in the Great Commission as a sender, okay? This year, 2018, we want to increase our missionaries to over 30. We want to partner with church plants in Kenya and Cuba. I'd mentioned 100 churches planted in Cuba, 100 churches in 3 years. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. It's awesome. Yes, Pastor Greg, it is awesome. Yes, yes. Everybody say awesome.
Awesome.
It's awesome. Construct churches in Ecuador and Haiti, provide relief to orphans in Uganda, conduct youth evangelistic outreaches, facilitate 5 global leadership training events. 5. Everybody say 5. Okay? So look at, put up the next slide, please. You'll see where we're already scheduled to go this year. We did Havana, Cuba. We're going to Ghana. We're going to be in Accra for 500 leaders, in Kumasi for 300 leaders. And these numbers are conservative. I always like to go conservative. Okay, I don't want to inflate things. Mukono, 500 pastors, and Nairobi, 500 pastors. So that's a total audience of leaders now, leaders of 2,500 leaders that we're going to impact, God willing, through global leadership training and through your support. Amen. We are the mission church, and missions is what we do, and we want to do it with excellence and diligence and competence. Amen? Let me ask the worship team to join me up here as we get ready to close. Oswald Smith said this, any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. But I say this, any church that does fulfill the Great Commission will be entrusted with increase so they can continue supporting missions. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to turn in your pledge card. I have my pledge card, my wife and I. We're not asking you to do anything that we're not already doing. We're doing this. We're doing it again. We've also asked you to consider bringing a sacrificial offering for missions, okay? This is not for the church. This is not for our expenses here. This is for missions, okay? We have our sacrificial gift that we're going to be giving today as well. Let me just say this before we take the offering and we're going to close. Did you know that statistics show that in America, we spend more money buying Halloween costumes for our pets than we do on missions? Now, it's true that in a year's time, okay, in America, we will give about $11 billion to missions every year. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, but not really when you consider that we spend $19 billion on chewing gum and $31 billion on our diet programs and over $60 billion on dog food, but not in the mission church. And we love our dogs, amen? We love our dogs. I have a dog, okay? His name's Max. Actually, his name's Maximus Decimus Meridius, okay? That's his full name. We love our dogs, but we know that missions is a priority, amen? This is why we need senders. We need senders. We need senders. Hallelujah. This is a privilege for us to be able to co-labor with Christ propagating the gospel. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings in our lives. You've blessed us so richly. But Lord, it's not so we can just bless ourselves. It's so we can be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Lord, that's the reason why we're blessed, God. Help us, God, to be faithful stewards. Lord, we don't want to bury the talent in the dirt of the soil of our own lives, Lord. We don't want to hide it for ourselves, God. Lord, we want to invest it. Because when we're faithful in little, we'll be rulers over much, God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray that you'll receive these pledge cards today and help us, God. Help us to be able to fulfill these pledges. Lord, receive the offering today, God. We pray, God, you'll take it as we consecrate it for the work of missions. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen.